Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Shir HaShirim Perek Aleph. I'm excited to begin studying Shir HaShirim with you, and I do feel the need to give a short intro to Shir HaShirim, because it's, on the one hand, one of the most well-known books in Tanakh. We read it on Pesach, many say it the night of the Seder, some people say it every week on Shabbos, we're in preparation for Shabbos, and yet it is one of the most difficult books to understand, and it almost didn't make it into Tanakh. So just with the very, I'll give you a very brief introduction. The Mishnah in Masechet Yadayim talks about which are the books that are part of Tanakh, because there was a process of deciding, Chazal deciding, especially with the books of Ketuvim, which one should be in, what should be in and what shouldn't be. And in the process of going through the list, the Mishnah makes a statement, and it says, Kol ketvei kodesh mitamin et hayadayim, right? All books of that are kodesh, that are sanctified, make our hands tame, which is a counterintuitive process, but the for like kind of cleanliness reasons and make sure that food wasn't put together with these books, the books books that were considered holy would make the hands tame. So using that word metame et hadayim means that it's kodesh. So it's saying any book that goes into Tanakh is going to have this status of metame et hadayim. Then it makes another statement which says, Shir HaShirim v'Kohelet metamim et hayadayim. Shir HaShirim and Kohelet, both books of Ketuvim, are metame yadayim, meaning Shir HaShirim and Kohelet are also part of these kitvei kodesh, sanctified books. Now, from the fact that the Mishnah had to say that, it sounds like it makes it clear that both Shir HaShirim and Kohelet were books that were debated about whether they actually belonged in Tanakh. Now, what's the issue for Shir HaShirim? Why was Shir HaShirim on the cutting board, or like, you know, almost on the cutting board where they were debating, does this really belong? But when you start reading Shir HaShirim, the answer is pretty clear right away, because what Shir HaShirim is, it's a compilation of love poems between the Dod, who's a male figure, and the Raya, who's a woman. And it's the love poems that the two of them say to each other. And Hashem is actually not present in Shir HaShirim. There's no Hashem. So why would a group of love poems end up in Tanakh? So Rabbi Akiva steps in, and this is what's described in the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva steps in and he says, no. Shir HaShirim was never debated. No one debated Shir HaShirim. And he says, why was Shir HaShirim? And he actually makes this strong statement at the end. He says, Kol Ketuvim Kodesh, right? All the books of Ketuvim are Kodesh. They're all holy. But Shir HaShirim, Kodesh Kedashim. It is the holy of the holies. Like we call Kodesh Kedashim is that inner part of the Beit HaMikdash. It's the inner sanctuary. It's the most holy. Now, why does Rabbi Akiva then clearly we know Shir HaShirim is in our Tanakh. So what made Rabbi Akiva call Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy of Holies? So Chazal took this to mean that Shir HaShirim is an allegory about our relationship with Hashem. And it's hard for us to relate to Hashem with Hashem not being, without the physical aspects that as humans help us in our relationship. So the allegory helps us, the parable helps us to understand what is our relationship with Hashem. Now, how exactly that allegory plays out in Shir HaShirim is debated. Rashi suggests that it is a relationship between us, Klal Yisrael, and Hashem. We, Bnei Yisrael, are represented by the woman who desires this man, and the man is the mashal for Hashem. And Rashi explains that why was this given? Rashi says this was Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration given to Shlomo to write this. And he said Hashem knew that we'd be in many different exiles and we would feel that Hashem has cut us off. So the purpose of Shir HaShirim is to go against that and to say, no, we still desire Hashem. And we reflect back on all those good days that we had and all the history that we have. And we recognize, and Hashem desires us too, even though it doesn't always feel like that. And Hashem is there waiting for us. and he is not, you know, doesn't want us to suffer, but the exile is part of our historical trajectory and a result also of things, missteps that we have made. Rambam interprets it differently. Rambam says, yes, it's also a story, a love story between us and Hashem, but it's each individual. It's the way Shir HaShirim teaches us how we can actualize the mitzvah of Avat Hashem, loving Hashem. How do we understand how to love Hashem? And he says the only way to understand it is to think about a love. When somebody's in love with somebody else and they're consumed by them and they're always thinking about them, thinking what they want, it's almost as if they're there when they're not, right? Because you're focused. And this could be in all different types of relationships where you know, thinking about that person, even when that person isn't with us. And he says, that's what it means to be consumed by love. And that's how we can understand what Ahavat Hashem really is. And he says, this is the purpose of Shir HaShirim. Shlomo wrote it, Derech Mashal. It's through a parable. Because Ki Cholat Ahava Ani, those are the words of Shir HaShirim, I'm lovesick. And he says, all of Shir HaShirim is the way that we enter into this relationship with Hashem and the way that we understand it. So there's a lot of different options, I think, in understanding how Shir HaShirim can be a roadmap to our relationship with Hashem. Now, interestingly, if it's made it into Tanakh because of the idea that it can be understood as an allegory, one of the questions that comes up is, should we just interpret it allegorically all along, right? Is there a purpose to the literal meaning of Shir HaShirim? And interestingly, if you're using the Art Scroll, the Art Scroll translation does not translate Shir HaShirim literally. Instead, the Art Scroll translation interprets it right away in the allegorical form, following Rashi's commentary, that it's a relationship between the community, B'nai Yisrael, and Hashem. Now, interestingly though, Rashi himself wouldn't agree to that with that method, because Rashi begins by saying the only way to really understand the allegory is to first understand what is the literal meaning. And I would venture to say, so we're going to follow that approach using the literal meaning to understand the allegory. And I would venture to say that there's what to learn from the literal meaning also in terms of our own relationships. And there's a lot of different connecting points for Shir HaShirim. So with that introduction behind us about the kind of the unusual aspects of Shir HaShirim, right? The aspects of a sefer that's all about love songs, that doesn't give us the nimshal, it doesn't give us the explanation of how we relate to Hashem, and yet Rabbi Akiva still called it Kodesh Kedashim. And by the way, I'll just note, Rabbi Akiva also had a very special relationship with his wife. It wasn't only he had a special relationship with Hashem, and he also had a very special relationship with his wife. And the idea, I think, being that one is an avenue for the other, and each relationship becomes enhanced as the other gets stronger. So with that intro, I want to give you a flavor of what's going on in Perek Aleph. So Perek Aleph begins, Shir HaShirim Asher LeShlomo, the strong statement. This is Shir HaShirim, the song of songs, that which is Shlomo's. There's when it says songs here, what we mean are different poems. And there is some debate about whether these different love songs are connected. We're going to interpret it assuming that they do connect and they do build on each other. So what we're going to do is we're going to look for the underlying story that lies beneath the poem. And we start right away with Perek Bet. We hear Perek Aleph is very dominated by the Raya, who is this young woman desiring the Dod, who is a young man. We'll have to find out more about him as we go through. But she begins very strong. You'll see Pasuk Bet, it's not, we don't have like kind of a soft entry into their love story. She says, Yashkeni minishikot pihu ki tovim dodecha miayin. Let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth, because your love is better than wine. So she's not actually with him, but she's thinking about him, and she's thinking about what his love means to her. And she can almost like picture him even when he's not there. And this is really, I think, what love is. Like we talked about that before. It's like thinking about, you feel the presence of that person even when that person is not with you. And this is, again, the way the Rambam describe the way our love of Hashem should really actualize itself. Now, after through in Psukim Bet through Dalid 2-4, where the Ra'aya describes her desire for the Dod, then she describes her challenges, and she says, this is in Psukim Hey and Vav, 5 and 6. She says, Shchora ani v'na'ava b'not Yerushalayim, kolei kedar kiriyot Shlomo. Right? I am dark, but I am beautiful. She turns here, let me just say this, to these other characters, which are the b'not Yerushalayim, the women, the daughters of Jerusalem. And think of this as like her young friends. Now, they're friends, but they're kind of like what we call like frenemies. They're friends, but they don't always seem to have her best interest at heart. But we'll see that in a minute. So she turns to them and she says, I am dark, but I am still beautiful. And then she goes on and she said, like, even though, like Olei Kedar, I'm actually, like the tents of Kedar, I'm actually like the pavilions of Shlomo. And she says, let me explain to you what happened. Al tir'uni shani shecharchoret shezavtani hashemet. Right? Don't look at me and let me explain why I am the way I am. It's because the sun has burned me. Now, why have I spent so much time in the sun? B'nei imi nechrubi. Samuni notrat etakramim, karmisha li lo notarti. So my mother's sons, they argued with me. Okay, we can also pick out here that she, that perhaps her father has died. And now her mother's children are arguing with her, and they give her a job. They made me guard their vineyards, and therefore I was not able to guard my own vineyard. I wasn't able to protect myself. And so we see here, she's really defending herself to these women, to these friends of hers, saying, you think that I don't deserve, you know, the love of the Dod? No, you think I'm not worthy? But let me explain to you. I'm in the sun. I have a lot of issues that I'm, struggles that I'm dealing with. I was tending to the vineyard of my mother's sons. I was never able to take care of my own vineyard. And there's clearly multiple meanings here. On the one hand, we can certainly view a picture where she is physically tending to her brother's vineyard, so she's not able to take care of her own. But she's also maybe attending to her brother's needs. She's not really able to address her own needs. So this is somebody who is struggling, physically struggling, struggling with her emotional relationships, with her siblings, with her friends. And she's defending herself saying, I love him and I will pursue him. And she continues then by turning to him directly. And she says, Hagidala sha'ahava nafshi. Tell me, you who I love so deeply with my soul, with my body. Echa tir'eh, echa tarbit b'tzarayim. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be leading your sheep? So it sounds like the Dod is a shepherd. And she says to him, I want to find you. Tell me where you're going to be. Shalama eyeh ke'otia al edrei chavarecha. Right? Why should I have to go through all the flocks of your friends? If you tell me where you are, where at the hot part of the day you're going to be resting, then I'll be able to find you. Now, we're excited at this point. We want to hear, great, let's hear what he responds. But yet, then we read his response, and we're disappointed. He says, "Imlo tidila hayafe b'nashim." If you don't know, you who are the most beautiful of all women, then se'ilach be'ikvei atzon. Go follow the tracks of the sheep. Uri'iyat kidriosayich al mishkanot haro'im, and go graze your sheep by the tents of all the shepherd. Meaning, I'm not going to tell you exactly where I am. Sounds like he's almost playing hard to get. But if you really want to find me, put in the effort. Go around, follow the different paths of the sheep. And this is the first time we speak, and yet we're so disappointed. We want him to say, I'm here with open arms, but yet he's not running to her. And this theme continues in the rest of the parak. He certainly cares about her. He calls her Hayafe ben Hashim, who's someone who's so beautiful among the women. But he describes her and his desire for her, but his descriptions are much more removed and hers are more intimate, and she tries to push him towards a deeper relationship. But certainly we're left with the feeling that the relationship is not mutual. Now, given what we started with, saying that this can be understood as an allegory of our relationship with Hashem, with the raya, the female, desire and her strong desire for the male, Hashem, then what does that mean that Hashem is not mutually interested in this relationship, especially in light of Chodesh Elul, where we usually talk about Hamelech B'Sadeh, the king is in the field, Hashem is waiting for us. Then how do we understand this? Hashem almost playing hard to get, not telling us exactly where we are, where he is. So first of all, let me just say that, like, even without understanding exactly why, there's certainly something here that feels true to our experience at times, reaching out to Hashem and wanting to feel Hashem closer, and yet from our perspective, not knowing where Hashem is. And this is told. This is our story. So the story is told from the perspective of the Raya. The Raya feels that she is reaching out and she can't find him. But Rashi, for example, on a communal level, understands this actually as Hashem's push towards tshuva, saying, yes, you're right. I'm not right here, and that's because you have more work to do. Go follow Ikve Hatzon, right? Go follow where the path, the footsteps of the sheep, and that symbolizes go back to the ways of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Go back and figure out what your purpose is. And maybe there is a piece here that from the Dod's perspective, from Hashem's perspective, Hashem is pushing us. And certainly in terms of our individual relationship, right, the strong desire and the sense of Hashem, where are you? Where can I find you? Is something that I think resonates with us in our day-to-day and ups and downs of our relationships with Hashem. So to close, this is just the beginning of the relationship. And what we saw today in Perek Aleph is we heard the dominant voice of the Raya, the woman. We heard that she is contending with many challenges, including her siblings and her friends. And what really gives her her life, what gives her her vibrancy, is her desire for the Dod. And she is searching for him. He cares about her. He loves her. But yet he's not yet on the same page as she is. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmat Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.